When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Of phantoms and monsters. They exist among us, and sometimes they win. Even the devil was an angel once. The world has its own rules, and these rules are not human. Some of us seek answers to the origin and existence of cryptids and the unexplained. Join us as we venture beyond the known and accepted boundaries. Welcome to our nightmare. I think you're going to like it.
Hey, folks, good evening, and welcome to Phantoms and Monsters Radio, and thanks for joining me. Now, before we get started, I want to state that this channel is made possible by you clicking on the subscribe and like buttons and by you sharing our programming. Super chat and super thanks. Donations are appreciated. You can click the dollar icon located below the chat box, and the Buy Me a Coffee link is also shown below. So thanks for your consideration. Now, I want to welcome all new members to the channel, as well as first timers in the chat. If you're listening to me for the first time, please like and subscribe to the channel. Now, if you're in the chat and you have a question, please use all caps, and I'll try to get to each and every one after the presentation, and I'll let you know when I'm on the last account so you can start posting your questions. So, an early and well-known alien abduction claim occurred in the mid-1950s with Brazilian Antonio Vias Boas case, which did not receive much attention until several years later. Then in the 1960s, worldwide publicity was generated by the Betty and Barney Hill abduction case. Now, the Hill incident became the prototypical abduction case, possibly the first in which the claimants described beings that later became widely known as the Greys. But abduction scenarios aren't confined to extraterrestrial beings. The story of Albert Ostman, a 64-year-old retired lumberman from British Columbia, went public in 1957 with his account of being snatched from his sleeping bag while camping on Vancouver Island. Now, there have also been remarkable stories of kidnappings and involuntary relocations by other experiencers. So please listen to the following accounts I've received from witnesses who recall their encounters, and then decide for yourself, and I hope that you enjoyed the presentation. So this first account, an experiencer recalls a series of bizarre encounters while visiting Navarre Beach, Florida, with other families in 1977. Was this an MIB encounter followed by an abduction? Well, this account was forwarded to me, and I believe it may have originally been a submitted report, but I don't know that. Anyway, they state during my spring break of 1977, my family and three other families from the neighborhood I grew up traveled to the Holiday Inn in Navarre Beach, Florida. My mother had told me it was a newly opened hotel. It had an indoor pool, arcade, gift shop, deli, small movie theater. Now, for this day, it was a very nice place, and my family went to this hotel three times. Now, during our second visit in August of 1977, the movie Jaws 2 was being filmed at Navarre, and I even got to see the mechanical Jaws stored with other movie equipment and props in the eastern portion of the hotel parking lot. Now, during this spring break vacation around late March of 1977, there was a special showing of the film Bugsy Malone, where only children were permitted to attend. Now, it was during the film that I started to feel a bit disoriented. I heard other children crying, and I heard someone throwing up. At one point in the film, I got up from my chair to leave, but I was quickly escorted back to my chair by an usher in a black suit and black hat. I saw one or maybe two more men in black suits at the back of the theater. Now, after the film was over, I felt just fine, and I never complained to anyone about that experience. So one evening on this vacation, I woke and sat up in my bed. I looked across the room, and I could see a group of small figures in a dimly lit room. Now, my brother was asleep to my right, and my parents were asleep in the bed to my left. The feeling I felt was something I had felt before, which I immediately recognized. It was a feeling I only felt when the Grays were near. I thought it had been a while, and to a young boy, it had been over 2 years since my last encounter with the Grays, so I had felt like it was a long time. But then I could not move, and one of the figures moved towards me very fast. And the last thing I recall were its big black eyes very close to my face and a one-like object being pointed at me. Then there was blackness. The next thing I recall was being in the sand dunes away from the hotel in a circle of children. I must have been one of the youngest because I was the shortest. But my attention was more on the blue object directly over us that had a glowing blue light all around it. Now, the closest thing I've seen to this shade of blue would be that of the blue glow of radiation that I had only seen from photos. Then there was blackness. The next morning was a Saturday, and I was watching cartoons. It was not until I was watching TV that I then recalled the previous night's experience with the Grays, seeing the blue glowing sphere above me and the other children. I then told one of the other children that were traveling with us on this trip about my experience that night, and she didn't believe me. I also recall waking around the hotel later that day and then getting up the nerve to tell my older brother, who had also teased me. So that's kind of an interesting story. And for a kid and to remember that is pretty interesting as well. Now, this next account, an outdoorsman believes that he observed a Bigfoot carrying a human child dressed in red clothing while camping at Guanella Pass in Pike National Forest, Colorado. Hi, Lon. For the past several years, I've tried to find out any facts about what I saw and what I believe took place. I have contacted numerous Bigfoot researchers and investigators nationwide, but I never received any information that satisfied my concern. I was camping and hiking through Colorado in the spring of 2018. One morning, I woke up to smashing sounds that got closer to my camp. I thought it was a mad bear and got my hiking stick out. I knew I couldn't hurt the charging bear, but maybe I could distract it somehow with a shed of hope and a poke with my stick. Now, the sounds got right up on my camp, but took a turn. It stopped, and I peeked out my tent. I then saw this big, dark, hairy shape through the trees. It looked like it was carrying something that was wearing red cloth. Then it turned and ran up this steep hill. I heard it crashing through the trees, and it sounded like a tank going 60 mile an hour up a steep slope. I wish that I had gotten a better look, but it all happened so fast. I got the feeling that I needed to get out of there right then. I saw something that maybe I shouldn't have. I packed up camp and hiked out of there. I'm not sure, but since then, I have the feeling that the red cloth may have been a t-shirt. I think that the big thing was carrying an abducted child because people, especially kids, had been reported back then missing. Nobody knows what happened to them. Now, I've been desperate for answers. I did all I could to report what I saw, but law enforcement and state wildlife officials simply ignored me. I know what I saw, and I believe that a child was taken by the creature. This occurred in Quinella Pass, which is located inside Pike National Forest, Colorado. So after I got this account, I did make some inquiries, but of course I didn't get any satisfaction either. So I don't know what the deal was with that. I did pass it off to David Plotties later on. So I don't know if he looked into it or not. So this next account, an experiencer recounts her abduction events and believes that she had been used by the gray aliens for breeding. Hopefully, I'll be allowed to provide the evidence that she has collected. And unfortunately, I have not received it, but here's the account she sent to me. I'm almost 25 years old, and I've lived in Canada, New York, and New Hampshire. The first time I ever considered an alien was real or anything was when I was 19, when my boyfriend and I of a few years lived in Canada. We woke up one day like normal, had breakfast, sat down, and I'll never forget his face. I thought he was having a brain aneurysm or something, and I, obviously panicking, asked what was wrong. He shakily said, "I just remembered something, and I don't know how to explain it." He had tears running down his face, shaking like a leaf, and after I held him for a few minutes, he started talking. He is Native American and a strong man who is almost a genius IQ, who doesn't smoke, drink, or use drugs, who doesn't believe in ghosts or any of that paranormal stuff. He told me he woke up in bed and two aliens were walking in the room. Now, he was screaming, trying to wake me up. He said they were typical gray aliens, but had long arms and no genitalia. He said they came into the room with their hands out like to give us a high five. He told me when he was screaming, it was like I couldn't hear him at all, and I am a soft sleeper. He said one alien came over and kept a hand over the top of me while the other one walked towards him with his hands up. He said he heard this hum, and it was putting him in a trance, no matter how hard he fought it. The alien was on top of him until he passed out. Now, I ended up finding out I was pregnant not long after, and the conception date the doctor gave us was around that night. We did a lot of research, but he couldn't handle it. He always shook and would become overwhelmed anytime he heard a weird hum that reminded him of it or anything. We assumed maybe they were implanting their DNA in our baby, trying to crossbreed, or maybe taking our eggs or sperm. But that was that, and I didn't think about it again until 3 years later, after we broke up for a while. I still blame that incident for our breakup, like it was a reminder of that traumatic memory. After we broke up, he refused to talk about it. I started having sleep paralysis and weird sleep issues and never thought much about it until I started being aware. Once I forced myself to be aware of what had truly happened, I realized that I had been abducted. A lot. The normal stories you hear and read don't really match. What I know is that they can control us while we are sleeping and weak. When we are sleeping, they telepathically control us by forcing us back to sleep or paralyzing us. Now, after 2 years of being aware, I started to get good at fighting their forced sleep or paralysis. They've gotten angry and threatened me telepathically to stop, and that I need to not make it harder for them. Also, if I just go to sleep, I won't be scared anymore. Now, if I want to move again, just fall back asleep and I will wake up fine. Now, to my knowledge, if you break out of the trance, they are told to leave because it makes it dangerous and hard to control us. Now, every time I overpower them, they just leave. I now know when they will come into my room and I can normally wake up. Some sort of defense mechanism, I assume. But that has caused many other issues. I now think they are using harsher methods when trying to take me. Anyway, they do not like for us to see them, so they try to attack our backs, stand over our back and behind us. I have now set up my bed so that I must walk to the side of me in front of my TV, which I always have on because I continue to see them. I'm now scared of the dark. Now, one recent night, I had a horrible sleep. My body kept telling me they were coming. I never did this before, but I turned on my phone and recorded. It was 2 hours of recording, and it was raining outside. I woke up paralyzed like usual, and I opened my eye and saw the shadow in the corner of my TV and fought my hardest to keep out of my paralysis. It only took me a second. I lifted my head up, looked right at it, and it vanished. So I went to watch my recording to see if I could hear or see anything. Now I saw it. The minute before I broke free from my sleep, I picked up my phone to see if anything was on it. I could clearly hear a humming beat like a heartbeat in the background. I could hear the beat start around 30 seconds into the clip. I can provide an entire recording of an hour or so for authenticity as well. My only guess is that the sound wave they may use to control us during our sleep, and I am not sure, but I have a lot more I would like to try to remember by hypnosis, and I know they will be back. I honestly believe that they have human women carry children as crossbreeds because their reproduction systems have slowly been failing. We carry them for a month or two in our wombs and then take them out and can somehow keep them alive from then on with their technology. I have been consistently feeling pregnant on and off for a year. I have acne cravings and gain weight. I hope to personally demand to know more about what these creatures are doing and why they are taking me. This is the first time contacting anyone because this is the first time I have any sort of proof. Now, I did eventually get the recordings, but I wasn't given permission to release them to the public. Now, I have still continued to try to do that. I've worked with several women in the past who believe that they were subjected to alien breeding. I have talked about other ones in the past as well. So, but that does seem to be the case in most instances where these ladies will normally become pregnant for a trimester and then the fetus is taken somehow. And in fact, I have talked to one woman in particular, a young woman who's been pregnant. She says 4 or 5 times. She doesn't really know, but she's lost all the pregnancies at the end of the first trimester. So, we really don't have any proof yet, but the anecdotal evidence I have received in the past is pretty compelling. So, maybe at some point I will be able to release some of this. Now, I'll be honest, the evidence I have received from this witness I have been talking about is not too compelling. So, um, but she insisted I not release it, which, you know, of course, I will not do it unless I have her permission. But maybe one day I will be able to, you know, get it out there somehow. So this next account, a boy who disappears in a California state park is later found in good shape after being missing for 2 weeks. The boy said he was taken by the fuzzy man, but was later released. So I received, this is the account I received. My friend, who has been with the search and rescue service in Northern California for many years, has had a life full of strange encounters and occurrences. I mentioned to her that I was interested in hearing about any experience she had with people completely disappearing. Her eyes light up and she leans in close to me and says, "Want to hear a real doozy?" So she tells me about how when she first started, there was a case that got a lot of attention in the media. A family had been out berry picking in an area of the forest very close to the entrance of the park. It had two little boys, both under the age of 5, and at some point during the day, one of them vanished. There's a massive search, and they find nothing. It's another of those cases where it's like the kid was never there in the first place. The dogs just sit down and don't pick up on anything. No trace of the kid is found. So this search goes on for about 2 months, but is eventually called off. So fast forward to 6 months later, the family comes back to place flowers at a memorial that's been set up there for the kid. They bring their other son. Now, while they're placing the flowers, they lose sight of the kid for about 3 seconds. In that span of time, he vanishes into thin air. Now, obviously, the parents are beyond devastated. It's awful enough to lose one child, but to lose two is beyond imagination. The search is huge, one of the largest in state history. There are about 300 volunteers combing every inch of this park looking for the kid. But again, there's no trace of him. The search goes on for about a week, with people looking miles from the part of the park he had vanished from. And then, almost 2 weeks later, a volunteer almost 15 miles from the designated search area radios in that he's found the kid. They assume that the child is dead, but the volunteer says he's alive. You know, he's not only alive, but he's in good shape. Now, my friend's team went out to recover the child, and when they got there, she couldn't believe that this is the kid that's been missing. His clothes were clean. There's no dirt on him anywhere, and he doesn't appear traumatized. The volunteer said he found the kid sitting on a log playing with a little twig bundle that's bound together with some old rope. She asked him where he's been, who he was with for those 2 weeks, and the child says that he's been with the fuzzy man. Now, my friend firmly believes in Bigfoot, so she gets all excited and asks what he means by fuzzy. Was he hairy? But the kid says, no, he wasn't hairy. He was a fuzzy man, and he described a man that's blurry, like when you close your eyes, but it's not all the way closed. He says the man came out of the trees and took the child with him deep into the woods. The kid says he slept in a hollow tree, and the fuzzy man gave him berries to eat. Now, my friend asked if the man was mean, if he scared the child, and the kid said, no, he wasn't scary, but I didn't like how he didn't have eyes. Now, my friend says that she got the kid back to headquarters, and the cops take him into town and talk to him about what happened. He's friends with the cop that talked to him, and she said that the child described being kept in this tree by the fuzzy man and given berries whenever he was hungry. He was allowed to wander around a very specific clearing, but when he tried to go further, the fuzzy man would get mad and yell very loud, even though he didn't have a mouth. And when the kid got scared at night, the fuzzy man made it get brighter and gave him the twig bundle. He said the fuzzy man was going to keep him, but he had to let him go because the kid wasn't the right kind. either can't or won't elaborate more on that. The cops are just sort of left scratching their heads, and the search for his brother is renewed with no results. The kid has no idea where his brother might be, and they never did find him. And quite frankly, I have checked into this, and I think I know which account this was, because it was reported in some of the media, from what I understand, but it was pretty well kept quiet. I did send some inquiries up, but I haven't really received anything. But I'm assuming the child was never found, so I don't know what happened to the first boy. Maybe at some point we will find out, but at this point we just don't know. Now, a pregnant British woman first encounters a frill-necked, hissing reptilian being in her bedroom. Soon after, she believes that she was abducted by the same alien being. So she writes me and states, "Hi, Lon. Upon reading on your site about reptilian beings visiting people, I summoned up my courage to speak out about my experience 18 years ago. In 2005, I lived in Colchester, England, with my long-term partner and was working at a local cafe where I met and worked with people who first introduced me to the beliefs surrounding the Illuminati. Now, when I fell pregnant, we decided to move to Australia, where strange things started to happen in my sleep. The first one I remember is waking up and not being able to move or talk. It was extremely frightening. And although it happened on several occasions, I was hesitant to tell my partner in case he thought I was crazy. On the contrary, I felt mentally and spiritually strong, which helped me fight to overcome the forces that were controlling me every time. I also used to see tiny green lights in the corner of my room during the night. So one night I was woken to find what I can only describe as a reptile-like creature or being standing over me on two legs. It had a frill around its neck, and that was in a threatening-like extension, very muscular, and a tail. It was making a hissing noise. I felt that it was certainly not friendly, looking almost through me when our eyes met, and as in the previous experience, I was not able to move or speak and felt paralyzed yet wide awake. In absolute terror, I shut my eyes and opened them, and it was gone. I was beside myself and was in fear of his return. It wasn't the last time I awoke to him. He also came to me in a dream. In my dream, I was sitting at my friend's square table talking with her, and I knew he was there. In my dream, I remember as my friend was talking, I was being coaxed away and taken by him. It felt like an out-of-body experience, as I could see myself in my dream at the table with her. I knew I'd been taken. I managed with all my spirit to fight the strength he had on me, and I remember feeling like I wasn't ready to go and that he'd be back when I was, because after it didn't return, and it hasn't yet. Now, after I had my baby, I remember seeing lights, the same green ones I saw in my room, in her cot at night when she woke to feed. I don't know why this happened to me, but I know I'm not alone, and I know I'm not crazy. So in this next account, a Quebec experiencer describes his bizarre abduction by a Sasquatch-like being and the subsequent high strangeness that accompanied the encounter. Now, he states, "At a young age, experiences which I have now come to suspect as being an abduction experience occurred with terrifying frequency. For many decades, I was convinced they were nothing more than a reoccurring dream, but now I'm not so sure. The best that I can tell, it first began in 1976, September 7th of that year, when I was living in Chateauguay, Quebec, Canada. The experience begins after I'm put to bed. Despite my protests that leaving me alone in my bedroom resulted in harm to me by unknown entities. Shortly after being put to bed, red eyes would appear right outside my bedroom window. They seemed to hang there, though I was never once able to make out any physical body to house those terrifying eyes. Though I had memories of those eyes communicating with me, despite the lack of a mouth. Sometimes they would be reassuring. Other times they were terrified in their cold calculatedness. I would always fight the desire to sleep because I somehow knew that those eyes were waiting for me to fall asleep before they'd be able to interfere with me. I was never once able to avoid falling asleep, though I tried valiantly. Evidently, my eyelids would begin to droop, and before long, I was being carried in the arms of a Sasquatch-like being, whose arms and legs were covered in thick black fur. I did not recall being able to discern any facial features of the creature, as every time I tried to make eye contact, it was as if my mind blurred out the terrifying face I should have been able to see. I also do not remember there being a foul stench as normally associated with Sasquatch. I would then be carried out of my bedroom and down the stairs to the landing on the main floor where the kitchen, the living room, and the hallway, which lead to the front door, meet. Once there, I am frantically looking around as I am screaming in terror for someone, anyone, to save me, though I distinctly remember not being able to get away from the beast, no matter how I tried. I was able, however, to gain a good peripheral view of my surroundings. I noted that the entire family was seated in the living room in the middle of the night and in various stages of undress, and they seemed to be playing cards. This led me to believe that they were engaged in some kind of game of strip poker. Every member of that staunchly Catholic and severely sexually repressed family was seething there half naked or more, and fully engaged in a game of cards from my grandmother right to my six-year-old sister. All were slowly stripping down garment by garment. All were oblivious to what was happening to me as they focused intently on their card game. I screamed and screamed, but no one even gave the slightest indication that they could even hear me, much less respond. Then the beast turned right to exit the front door. This is where it varies on occasion. Sometimes it ends abruptly with the opening of the screen door, and others it ends with me being handed off to something I could not see, which carried me up the ladder into some sort of craft, which I also could not see. It felt as though my body was being fully supported at all pressure points by an unknown force. Later, as these experiences continued, I remember being whisked into a blindly white room onto a bed. I do not remember the facial features of the beings, clearly. And I was never able to see any faces. It was like they were always blurred out. I could see every other detail perfectly, just not the faces. I remember them taking something out of my head through my right nostril. They only did this once that I recall. Now, I remember waking up the next morning with an unexplained nosebleed, and nosebleeds are not something I've ever had before or since. Now, this next account, a husband and wife are watching TV at night when a commercial comes on and the words, "Greetings, Earthlings," appear on the screen. What happens next is beyond explanation. They write, "I have a story that happened to my wife and me about 2 years ago. She has a nice home in town, which is French Lick, Indiana, and we got married, so I kept the farm and I left everything in it. Now, when my mom died, the old TV and all the stuff in the house were left as is. Now, late one night, we were coming home from a movie, and she said, 'Oh, I'm not sleepy. Let's watch TV.' I said, 'Okay.' So we're out in the boonies quite a way near the old farm, and we still have the old TV, like I said, and it hooks up to a box, you know, and we pick up the channels. Now, we were watching TV at the farmhouse, and a certain commercial came on after the movie we were watching. And about halfway through, the commercial stopped and just froze on the screen. There were people in the commercial. Across the screen, there was writing, "Greetings, Earthlings." My wife looked at me, and I looked at her, and she said, "Is that part of the commercial?" And I say, "No, we watch that commercial all the time." So I hit the button quickly. I had the selector in my hand, and it flashed both sides of the channel, watching to see. It made me, there was an overlap, since it was an old TV and maybe something, or, you know, but it just stayed there. I hit the end, and it came back. It was just going off, and you could see it saying, "Greetings, Earthlings." So suddenly, we could hear someone in the background saying, "Hey, get that off. Take it off." And it goes off. Now, my wife says, "Let's go home." And I said, "No, it's okay." I said, "They said greetings." And I said, "You know, they have to be friendly." Well, we stayed the night in my old room. So after sleeping a few hours, I wake up to a bright light shining through the window. I look at my watch. It's 3:03 a.m. I look out the window, and I can tell that the light is ascending into the sky. I get out of bed and walk towards the window. And when I reach the window, I hear my wife scream, "Come back." The next thing I remember is waking up my bed. It's light outside. I look at my watch. It's 8:03 a.m. Suddenly, my wife bursts through the bedroom door screaming, "Where have you been?" I don't know what to say. She tells me that she sees me walking through the lighted window 5 hours earlier and disappear. The bright light vanished. She searched the house of the property looking for me. Then she loses all sense of time and wakes up on the couch in the living room downstairs. Then she hears a whooshing sound come from upstairs and finds me awake in the bed. That was the entire scenario. We have no idea what happened. There were no marks on our bodies and no residual memories. I didn't believe in alien abduction before this incident, but now I wonder if something like that had actually happened. Was it related to the "Greetings, Earthling" we saw in the commercial? Now, I will say this. The 3:03 a.m. That time or analog seems to come up in a lot of abduction scenarios. I don't know why. Is it part of the subduction? I mean, is it a part of the abduction scenario, or is it just coincidence, or what? But I have heard that many times from people who have contacted me and through other investigators who have had cases that have stated that as well. So I don't know what to really say about that, but it is interesting. So this next encounter, a youth camper in Nevada had a terrifying experience during abduction by a red-haired giant, which was a Sasquatch. It is a very interesting account with references to mind speak and religious dogma. Now they write, I suppressed my encounter for 32 years due to the scorn and disbelief I received. It was 1988, and I was around 10 years old. I went to a summer camp in Nevada. The camp is in a beautiful open canyon that slowly chokes down as you climb up an elevation, and a creek runs through it down from the mountains. Now, the campsite had an old square log cabin that had a well-built stone fireplace serving as the main cabin. We all had tents set up in the clearing between the creek and our camp fire site, which is located below an enormous boulder. This is the start of the trail going up the southern ridge of the canyon. So, during the first night, one of the boys started screaming in the middle of the night, being woke up after getting drug out of his tent still in his sleeping bag. Our 19-year-old camp leader came running with his flashlight, but there was nothing there. Now, on the second night, I startled something large on two legs, and it paused looking straight at me a moment before darting back into the bush. It was so fast that you doubt your own eyeballs, especially when it's something horrifying and unbelievable. I stayed up all night fearful, knowing that something was out there and hearing it from time to time as it moved around checking out the camp. I believe it was also displeasing that we were there. I got to sleep around daybreak and ended up getting a late start of the day. Now, the camp leader, Betty, is a woman in her 50s. I prepared my lunch, and the boy's youth leader, Billy, a kid around 19 or so, was leading us. So Billy's girlfriend, Sally, was the girl's youth leader and led three or four other kids my age up on a hike up the mountain to a spot with a good view for lunch. I'll mention here that there was a weird lingering fog that morning just up the creek from the camp on that bright sunny day. Now, I was holding up the hike, being the last one to get my things ready, and had to start up a trail on the southern ridge waiting for me on the other side of that big boulder. So as I rounded around the boulder, I saw Billy and Sally standing in the bend of the trail above me to the right, about 25 yards, waiting while the rest of the group had just gone out slightly ahead the bend at about 15 yards ahead. I then heard a scream that stopped me in my tracks. It erupted from the trail to the left of Billy and Sally. Suddenly, a red-haired male giant being that was 8 to 9 feet tall was staring down at them. Sally screamed. Billy was behind her and seemed to melt into the ground as the thing screamed again, drowning outcries from the kids that had gone ahead. I was frozen in fear. There was no time to think, let alone react. This giant turned and looked at me down the trail, and with an indiscernible, evil, insane laugh, he snatched me up in one hand. He was running with me up the mountain. I'm not ashamed to say it, I passed out from fear. Now, I later woke, still in the giant's arms, but now in a cave where I knew he was going to eat me. But instead, he pulls out this thing that is wrapped in animal skins. Now, as he unwrapped it, I saw that it was a round stone about the size of a cantaloupe that had a petroglyph carving on it. I was so confused now, thinking that I was going to bash my head with this rock, I passed out again. And when I woke up, it was dark and we were moving. This thing was mind speaking to me, but nothing he said made any sense. He stops and we're somewhere along the creek in a good sized pool that was hip deep on me. He pulls out this stone and sets it in the creek with his hands underneath it. He starts to make a very deep, very low resonating noise, and that stone starts to float. He wanted to know if I could make it float too, and if I knew why it floated. Of course, I didn't know why it floated, and it was unsuccessful in my attempts. I knew this red-haired giant wasn't right in the head. Now frozen from the cold, this thing began questioning me on what I did. I told it of my family and being the oldest of four boys and how my mother and brother needed me and that I would be missed and searched for. I told him that I needed to get back. He would momentarily listen, then change the subject, informing me that he didn't want me to leave and became upset. I don't know how, but God came up in our conversation, probably because the camp was set up the first year through a church. I told this giant that I believed in Jesus. He became more upset, but somber. Then for some reason, I asked this thing if he was Cain. He became very angry and started wrapping the stone back up. He yelled that he wasn't Cain. I didn't believe him. He then said a name that I can't remember. I swear I saw an angel standing there as this giant picked me back up and started down the mountain. He stopped at the bottom of the trail next to the giant boulder and put me down. Then he stepped back into the brush and hid, watching as the sun was just breaking over the mountains. I yelled out to the campfire where Billy and Sally were, and they came running. Billy was emotionally uncontrollable, a crying mess. They were both hysterical with joy. Billy kept apologizing as if he had stopped that giant from taking me. I soon collapsed and passed out again. I woke screaming and thinking that I was in that cave again, but I found myself being brought to my senses by Betty in the main cabin. She had more questions than I had answers, and my answers were too unbelievable. She brought me food and fixed up my scratches. Now, by that evening, I was getting my strength back. The group stayed inside the main cabin that night. The ones who were unsure and unbelieving got a rude wake-up call that night. The giant returned in the dark. He screamed. He roared. He shook the ground. He shook the cabin. He screamed threats at me in mind speak as if I had somehow cheated him. His anger wasn't just at me. He raged until dawn with all of us inside praying and rebuking. Betty waited until he had we hadn't heard any more screams. Then she sent Billy for the vehicle. We loaded up in record time. Not much was said on the ride home, and I've not seen any of that group since. I've never returned to the canyon. I can say that there is power in the name of Jesus and that the devil runs from his name. I'm really praying that Betty or Billy somehow read or hear this and that they come forward with their account. Now, even though he didn't mention in the account, I believe this may have been a Mormon or LDS-sponsored camp, or at least that the experiencer was Mormon. Many of the descriptions, including the Cain reference to the Sasquatch, are very similar to the beliefs of some of the LDS community. So beyond that, I don't know what the deal was with this incident, but I kind of believe that had something to do with the LDS church in that campsite. So this next account, an abduction experiencer details his strange account, then explains that he started losing weight and was hospitalized. People have commented that they believe he is getting younger. Now he states, "Hi, I'm from East Long Island, New York, and single. One night in the summer 2016, I was lying in bed, unable to sleep, when a very bright white light entered the room. Then several humanoids appeared in my bedroom and stood by my bed. Now these beings were about 4 foot tall, wide in torso, with large heads, large black eyes, no ears or hair, with dark bluish-gray skin. Their hands were very wide with thick fingers and nails. They wore white robes down to the floor. They asked me to come with them, and I followed them down to the street. There I saw a group of women, maybe two dozen or so, slowly walking down the street. All appeared to be in a trance and were going in the direction of the beach. I also felt drawn to the water. Now, when I got there, I observed four brightly lit disc-shaped objects hovering over the surface. A tall, beautiful female with pale skin and wearing a long, flowing black hooded robe appeared in front of me. I was called by this being and asked to conduct a test. I soon found myself standing at the foot of my bed with the stocky beings attempting to stick me with a long needle. It was inserted into my upper chest and an opaque yellow liquid extruded from me. I remember waking mid-morning the next day with a terrible headache. I have no idea why this occurred. I couldn't find any marks, but I did experience intense dizzy spells and had problems eating for some days. I lost about 50 pounds during the next four-month period and was hospitalized for 1 week while tests were being conducted on me. I did not relate my experience with anyone, not even the doctors. Now, results of the test did not result in a diagnosis. Now, over the past 6 years, my body and appearance have drastically changed. Some people say that I look and act much younger. There's no explanation. Now, a Deadwood, South Dakota man is approached by two black-eyed kids in front of his home. He becomes frightened. He later sees him at this window and front door. That's when things get weird. Now, I got this secondhand from someone else, a friend apparently. He states that a military man, JD, went outside to have a smoke. He lives in the hills surrounding Deadwood, South Dakota. He spotted two kids walking up a hill. They stopped and looked at JD, which spooked him. They were wearing dark hoodies and looked very strange. They turned and started to walk in JD's direction, and as they approached, JD could plainly see that their eyes were completely black. They started to cross the street, walking directly towards JD, who introduced himself to them. They continued to advance toward him without saying a word. Frightened, he retreated into the house. Inside, he asked his wife if she heard him talking to the kids. She never heard anything. They soon went to bed. JD then noticed one of the boys outside his window. He rushed to bolt the front door, as one of them was there too. He never made it to the door. For whatever reason, he turned around and went back into the bedroom where he saw the boy standing outside his window. He went to grab his pistol. He wanted to scare him off. He assumed they were wearing masks. One was at the window, the other was at the door. And he was extremely scared by that point. The next thing he remembered was waking up in bed. His wife informed him that he had been gone for an hour and a half. "I did hear the door open and close. You weren't there," she told him. JD left the house at 4 a.m. and didn't return home until 5:30 a.m. He got out of bed and looked at his slippers on the floor beside him. The slippers were wet and a bit muddy. There were wet spots on the hallway and bathroom floor as well. He didn't remember anything other than seeing the black-eyed kid at the window, then waking in his bed later. Now, was JD abducted by these black-eyed kids? What did they want? Now, this gentleman who sent this to me, he contacted him a few weeks after the encounter. Neither he or his wife had seen the black-eyed kids since this incident. Nonetheless, JD was fearful that they would return. He believes they were some form of otherworldly beings, possibly extraterrestrials. So this is the last account. So if you got questions, go ahead and start posting in the chat. A man who has experienced previous alien abductions recalls being taken later. During this incident, he encounters an alien female who tells him that they had met before and presents their hybrid son. He states, "This incident happened at approximately 3 a.m. on the morning of June 7, 2012. For some reason, I can remember everything like it just happened. This was not a dream or a nightmare. I woke up to the sound of a child laughing. I rolled over to see where the sound was coming from. I saw the boy running back and forth beside my bed. I felt like something had control of my body. I couldn't move. My first instinct was to yell, but when I tried, nothing would come out. Now, at this point, I then realized how bright my room was. It wasn't like sunlight, but it was so bright my whole room was light. I looked through my window, and that's when I saw the large alien, gray alien, out my window. Now, what's weird is my window is on the second floor of the house, so I must have been able to hold on to something or levitate. I don't know if it was supposed to let me see it, because when we made eye contact, it seemed to teleport away. The only way I can describe the teleportation is it went from a solid being to a static kaleidoscope-type image and then vanished. Now, at that point, I was able to move again. I remember going to the window, and that's when I saw about six more of the tall alien gray types slipping back into the woods. But it was so bright, and at that point, I could tell the light source was coming from directly above my house. I then remember the boy grabbing my hand and pulling me towards my bedroom window. I remember not really being able to fight back. I was in a zombie state of mind. When I reached the top of my stairs just outside my room, there was a woman sitting at the top of the steps. For some reason, I didn't feel afraid anymore. She wore a pink hooded sweatshirt and gray sweatpants. And she told me not to be afraid, that we had met before and that the boy was ours. But he lived with them, the Grays. From there, all I remember was the three of us walking out of the house, and then everything went blank. I will add that this is not my only experience with abduction. The reason why I know this really happened is I remember telling my sister and brother-in-law this story, and they both looked at me in shock. They told me how my brother-in-law's mother, who is my neighbor across the street, woke up randomly one night and said that the outside was so bright, brighter than the daylight, were her words. It was coming from over my house. But she never went to the window because she was too scared. Now, that was over 10 years ago, and I haven't seen my hybrid son since. So that's the last of the accounts, folks. Let me see what we got here. I've got a new member, JT. Thank you for becoming a member. Brutiful, thank you for your donation. Robo1776, thank you for your donation. Question, PNM Radio. I occasionally hear three or four types of Bigfoot, some benign and others mean, or even cannibals. What do you think based on the reports? You know, I've heard that as well. You know, just like humans, I guess Bigfoot had different races, I would say. I have heard some that supposedly have been cannibals. I heard others being just benign creatures. Without any evidence, we really don't know. But all we have is the anecdotal evidence from the witnesses. So that's the best I can tell you. When Nyes, thank you for your $20 donation. She said, hi, everyone. Great show, Lon. And I appreciate everybody coming on here. So let's see what questions we've got. Got a big crowd tonight. Appreciate everybody being in. First question, even the black guy kids have to have permission to come inside just like vampires and demons do. Well, I guess, you know, that may be true. You know, many accounts, people do say that. But this question was from Bettina Moss. I don't know if that's actually true. I mean, I have heard accounts like that. Maybe they weren't black-eyed kids. I don't know. But it's interesting, so I don't know. Jose Sanchez. Could these BEK be offsprings or hybrids of alien human experimentation? Well, you know, I have heard people state that they believe the black-eyed kids are alien. You know, when I wrote my book Alien Disclosure, and not being really sure what the black-eyed kids were, I didn't mention much about it in the book. Now I did talk about the men in black, because I think they are a cleanup crew for alien beings. I think they kind of keep an eye out for when people see things they're not supposed to. They try to talk people out of it. As far as the black-eyed kids go, I don't know what they are. You know, I've heard also explanations that people think that they're possessed humans of some type. But, you know, I guess they do grow up to be adult black-eyed kids or black-eyed adults. So I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with them, if they are a hybrid or not. But I have heard that before. Bettina Moss, questions all cat, please, so long, so see the media. I appreciate that. Absolutely. Let's see. B3 Airspace. Lon, have you been abducted or do you know? I have been abducted and I have talked about it. I have talked about it in particular in on some interviews I've done in the past. Maybe I'll go ahead and do it again on the show here and go into detail. I don't think I've talked about it on here, but I don't know. You know, I do so many things, I don't really remember what I do at the time. But no, I had been abducted. And it was the year my wife got sick and passed away. I had several encounters and I had an abduction that I do remember. I did talk about it on here. I did talk about it. I did go into detail. So if you go to my, my channel, I do talk about my alien encounters and abductions. So, yeah. Let's see here. Beautiful. Is there a theory on how some of these beings choose who they decide to visit or abduct? I have heard that theory. I don't know if it's true or not, but there is a theory. And even cryptids, there's theories about cryptids being able to do that. I do know with the Chicago Mothman incidents that we do believe that they have the ability to pick out people who can see them. Even in a crowd where there are other people around that don't notice them. I've heard that with Bigfoot encounters as well. So I think they do have some type of ability to do that. I do believe they're supernatural beings. Hans Quatch. I think the government is aware humans are abducted. I'm quite sure they are. I think they are. Jose Sanchez, Lon, have you heard about the Greys and the Nordics cooperating during abductions as a team? I have heard several types of alien beings, in particular the last 20 years or so, have worked together in doing that. David Eckhart has talked about that on numerous occasions. I have talked in my book, Alien Disclosure, I have talked about that, where it does seem that a lot of these beings do work together. Yeah, it's just not the Greys and the Nordiques. It's reptilians, insectoids, which I believe are actually metamorphosized reptilians. And even humans. There have been instances where humans have been seen in cooperating with these beings as well. Bettina, what do you think is there a fascination with watching us? Yeah, I guess there is. You know, it seems by some accounts that they do have a fascination with us. Now, if you're talking about cryptids, yeah. Alien beings, I think, and I've talked about this many times before, but I think abduction scenarios as well as experimentation. And, you know, David has talked about this a bit, but from what I have gathered from all the accounts that I have gotten over the years and talked to experiencers, I do believe that these alien beings that people have encounters with are actually evolved humans. And I think that they're kind of jealous that we have the ability to believe in things that they just can't comprehend, like reincarnation, psychic abilities, life after death. I think a lot of these abductions are related to that, and they're trying to figure out a way to where they can somehow discover how to do that once again. And I think they may have in the past. But I think they are fascinated with us because of that. So that's just one theory, but that's one of the theories that I have. Nancy Malcolm, how often are people abducted by ETs that are not short grays? I hear most of the abductions do involve the grays, but other times, as in David's case, it's reptilians. And David had been, and his family were abducted for years by these reptilian beings. Now, there were other types of alien beings associated with them, including Greys. So I think those are the two main, but I have heard of other abductions involving humans as well, human-like, maybe hybrids that do this as well. So, let's see, BCAB, any new winged humanoid sightings? Nope, not recently. I don't think I've had one out of Chicago. Well, out of Chicago, we haven't had one for a bit. 2003, we had 6 accounts. This year, we haven't gotten any, though I have gone back and started to look into other cases that are received since 2017 that I do believe that are been involved, and I have posted them on the map, and I have talked about them, and I have also posted them on the blog. I appreciate everybody coming in tonight. Kind of went a little long, but I know most of you probably don't care about that. I hear a lot about I'm not going long enough many times. So again, I want to thank you for all coming in here. You know, thanks for watching and chatting. And if you donated, it's truly appreciated. As you know, this support is what makes all this possible. Please like and subscribe and share as well. If you have a sighting or encounter report that you'd like to be considered for the personal report show or for the blog as well, you can always contact me at LonStricklerPhantomsAndMonsters.com. So until we meet again, thanks again, folks. Thanks for coming in. It's always appreciated. I hope you're all enjoying this, and we're going to try to keep going and make, you know, try to make it more interesting as time goes on. So look, until we meet next week, next Friday night, you have a safe weekend, and I'll see you then. So take care.